Well, hello, everybody. Please excuse the light above my head. when that becomes the real fact, I'll let you know. But I'm here in the Temple of Silence that we have here in Finland, and it will be silent except for the words of the Tibetan and a few of my own words in relation to what he has said. This is the Rays and Initiations webinar commentary number 36, and I'm starting it on a day when Mercury has gone direct. Hopefully some of the problems that appeared before will not now appear. And the Tibetan is dealing in this second part of the Rays and Initiations book with the construction of the Antikarana. And so he begins with what's called the technique of construction. It is my intention, he says, let's see, get this straight, to be very practical. And this is an abstruse subject, so practicality is desirable from our perspective so that we can understand. I wonder how many of us do understand this section even after years and years of reading, and how many of us have put it to the test to contact the world of higher thought and the world of ideas and the world of the spiritual will, i.e. the spiritual triad. So he says, it is my intention to be very practical. The building of the Antikarana, which is consciously undertaken upon the path of discipleship, and that's real discipleship, I think not just probationary discipleship, but a discipleship which is evidenced around the time of the second initiation, with that initiation as a goal or objective, or at least in sight or recently passed. So the building of the Antikarana, which is consciously undertaken upon the path of discipleship, is a process which is followed under certain ancient and proven rules, probably rules that are thousands of years old. We cannot tell how long, you know, in the archives of the masters, these books or methods of conveying information exist. And remember that since Shambhala was founded, or since the Lords of the Flame came to Earth, we have something like 18.5 million years. Maybe the first literal founding of Shambhala was the Temple of Ibez, I-B-E-Z, around 17 million years ago. But that's plenty of time for the ancient rules to be written down and held in trust until there were those who could benefit from them. When these rules are correctly followed, the sequence of events and the appearance of the desired results are inevitable. We have to remember that, because sometimes we work a little at this, a little at that, and do not really follow instructions well, and we wonder why something has not happened. But the desired results are inevitable and unavoidable. So we have the Tibetan's assurance here that if we do what we are told and do it diligently and in a focal manner, the results that we desire and towards which we aspire will be forthcoming. There is much that I could say which would be of small use to the average aspirant, and I guess we have to count ourselves as average. He does tell us we should do that. Let us count ourselves as average. We are really an aspirant, at any stage on the path of discipleship. We, even if we are aspiring to the third degree, even if we're aspiring beyond, as long as aspiration exists, we are an aspirant. But here he's talking about those, I think, who have not yet taken the third degree. It would be a small use to the average aspirant, as it would be concerned with subjective realities which, though existent and occult facts in a natural process, are as yet unrealizable. So he doesn't want to waste his time to lay out for us what we cannot possibly yet appreciate, cognize, though we will someday. We begin to realize that the Tibetan has given us simply the ABCs of certain occult processes, and he can do no more than that. And as complicated as it may seem to us, and as deep and as unapprehensible as it may seem to us, it's just the ABCs. My problem, he says, is to present the process in such a manner that towards the end of this century, that is the 20th century, educators will be thinking, speaking, and teaching in terms of bridging. That's a Mercurian kind of activity, a planet very much involved with all manner of education. They will be thinking, speaking and teaching in terms of bridging, and thus approaching basic statements which have a definite bearing upon this point which we are considering. Maybe they won't realize that what they're doing is part of the ancient method of building the links to the higher worlds, but they are in preparation, and I'm sure in some of the higher presentations of education, higher methods, these bridging activities have been occurring. The interdisciplinary studies designed by students themselves, linking together subjects which might not normally be linked, is part of this. I would like here very succinctly to recall a few of them to you, certain basic statements. Okay. One, knowledge force expresses itself through the consciousness thread and the creative thread, not the life thread. Maybe we'll come to the question of which thread it is that alone passes through the egoic lotus. So knowledge is related to force, and wisdom to energy. These two threads are, for the disciple, a fusion of past knowledge, the consciousness thread, and the present, the creative thread, that is, what you're going to do with the past knowledge. So I'll just, you know, make a note of that. What will one do with the knowledge which has been accumulated? This is me. The life thread, or sutratma, is closely blended with these two. You have then atma, buddhi, manas, the latter being the agent of creation. So atma, the related to the sutratma, as we see in the word, the atmic thread, the thread of will, the thread of life, as will and life are closely allied. Buddhi, the consciousness thread, and manas, the creative activity in which we engage in relation to that which has been accumulated and in relation to the power we have to create. So you then have the Atma Buddhi Manas, the latter Manas, being the agent of creation, functioning to a certain degree consciously in the aspirant. Perhaps we know what it is we are attempting to create in the world, hopefully under soul impression and not simply at the promptings of the elemental nature. The fusion of personality and soul is in process, but when it has reached a certain point, it becomes apparent that a creativity or a creative activity of the will is needed to bridge between the spiritual triad and the personality via the soul. Now, from this perspective, it would seem, that creativity is bypassing the soul and linking to the triad, perhaps it is the consciousness thread which passes through the egoic lotus. All right, that still has to be established. We need his words on this to be definite. So this creative activity is our Antikarana building that we are discussing and in which we have been engaged or will be engaged. A creative activity involving a visualization and the movement of light and color, creative activity of the will, which is involved with the phase of projection, because the act of projection is an act of will, is needed to bridge between the spiritual triad and the personality via the soul, although sometimes it is said it bypasses the soul, or, you know, the presence of the spiritual triad within the causal body. We'll call that the soul. But since there is an absorption in the mental unit at a point of tension, before this creative activity takes place, apparently bypassing the soul energy is involved. The bridge which must be constructed is called technically the Antikarana. This is the inner organ, as it is called, the organ of light, which reveals that which has hitherto been unrevealed by the use of ordinary methods of apprehension. So, knowledge force, working through the consciousness thread and the creative thread. These two threads are fused, and the consciousness thread involves past knowledge accumulated, and the creative thread, the manipulation of that knowledge for certain ends, and the life thread, the sutratma, lies behind all of this, the will to sustain this type of activity. And at a certain point, which I presume the steadfast readers of this book will have achieved, then a creative activity is called for, a creative bridging activity. Let's just put that down in bold, creative bridging activity. The bridge is called the Antikarana. The bridge has to be built by the aspirant, who is focused upon the mental plane, particularly at first upon the fourth sublevel of the mental plane, where the mental unit is found being used as a place of tension and projection, because it is mental substance in three grades which must be used. And the three aspects of the mind, the monastic permanent atom, found on the first sublevel of the mental plane, the son of mind or ego, found on the second and third sublevels, but usually by the time this kind of work is going on, it's found on the second sublevel of the mental plane, and the mental unit found on the fourth sublevel. Usually, when an individual has his causal body or egoic lotus focused on the third sublevel of the mental plane, he is not yet ready to undertake the projection process. Students would do well to learn that this process of building the antikarana is one of the means whereby man, the Trinity, personality, soul, and monad, triad, considered as one, becomes a duality, soul-infused personality, and monad, triad. So let's put that down. This duality can be considered as soul personality and monad triad. This is a new computer with a Finnish keyboard. Forgive me as I stumble around here. When the task is completed and the antikarana is definitely built, thus producing, and look at these words here, perfect alignment. You know, so it's not an immediate achievement. Perfect alignment between the monad and its expression upon the physical plane, the body of the soul, the causal body, is completely and finally destroyed by fire of the monad, pouring down the antikarana. This is a very important statement. There are many ways in which we think about the destruction of the causal body. What originates this? Is it only the monad involved? Is it also the form that's involved? Are aspects of the soul, its own interior nature involved? A number of these things are true. But this is very important, that only when we have a complete alignment between the monad and its physical plane expression, well, we might consider that the entire physical plane expression as the mind, emotions, and body, because it's all taking place. These three vehicles are occurring within the dense physical body of the planetary logos. But anyway, let's consider it to be the etheric physical body. Then, and only then, we might just say, and not before this alignment, see that this is the story of alignment being a climactic phase. So we say, then and only then, the body of the soul, notice interestingly, the soul being the triad, it has a body on the higher mental plane. That body is not the soul itself. The body of the soul, the causal body, is completely and finally destroyed by the fire of the monad. So always the monad and antikarana are involved in the destruction of the causal body. And we see that, of course, the antikarana extends all the way to the monad and later beyond. So In fact, fire from heaven can pour down this bridge, which reaches into higher spheres than that, than the sphere upon which the causal body is found. So, monad and antikarana are both involved in the destruction. Later, I promise you, I'll get my code words back and things will go faster in the destruction of the causal body. I just would write CB, but I cannot now. Okay. So fire from the monad Is it the second aspect of divinity? That does seem to be involved in the destruction, but since it is an act of destruction, the first aspect has to be involved as well. We realize that the monad expresses as a triangle will, wisdom, and activity, and probably from the will and wisdom aspects, this destruction occurs. An earlier type of destruction may have been involved, may have involved the activity aspect when, after the third initiation, the knowledge petals of the egoic lotus begin to disintegrate, giving way to the intuition. Okay. There is then complete reciprocity between the monad, which we essentially are, and the fully conscious soul on the physical plane. We no longer need the causal body to say that we're a soul. We're a soul through and through. So soul consciousness is sustained on all the elemental levels. The divine intermediary, he says, is no longer required. The three are really becoming the two. The Son of God, who is the Son of Mind, dies. And, you know, this is the death of Jesus, or as it's usually thought of, the Christ upon the cross, is an outer expression of this inner occult fact that the Son of God, the middle principle, is no longer required and dies or fades out of the structure we're studying here. The veil of the temple here being the Temple of Solomon, or the causal body itself, let's call it Temple of Solomon, or Solomon, Temple of Solomon, is rent in twain from the top to the bottom. The fourth initiation is passed, giving direct contact now with the higher triadal principles in the monad and the soul-infused personality. Of course, it may mean death of the personality, or it may not. If the personality is sustained, it is now the soul working consciously through the personality and recognized by the man as such. And there comes the revelation of the Father. Why is this? The veil of the causal body is no longer in the way, an impediment. This is something that we all look forward to, maybe with fear and trembling and some, you know, trepidation. But it is, we learn from Master DK, a great privilege. And people cannot simply force their way into the fourth initiation. They have to earn the right, clear-eyed, and without glamour, to take this initiation. This Master DK established when talking to the disciple ISGL, who had difficulty discriminating between the second initiation and the fourth. Sometimes the discrimination problem arises when there is a numerical resonance, such as there is between the two and the four. Well, we're talking about things that lie far ahead, lifetimes ahead, really, maybe for a few sooner. Closer. But still, we have to prepare for these, and the preparation involves making the right choices when confronted with the temptations in the desert. The temptations, such as they are, for the human being, such as they are. They're different than those that confronted the Christ, but of a much lower nature, but still they reflect the temptations that confronted the Christ in the desert. So if we make those choices properly, we will take the third degree and stand on the threshold of being able to consider the possibilities here given in a meaningful way. They will actually relate to us rather than just being interesting concepts which unveil to us a future for which we are not yet prepared. This is the final and far-reaching result of the building of the bridge, which is in reality the establishing of a line of light between monad and personality as a full expression of the soul. The soul, as we normally consider it, may disappear, but the triad is the true ego, and ego, with a capital E, does mean soul, and it does not disappear. So the soul-infused personality, the triadally-infused personality, will exist if that personality does not die and is sustained. So there's a line of light, let us always remember that. As we build the Antikorana, our destination is the monad, that point of being upon the second subplane of the cosmic physical plane, where we realize ourselves as being, we realize ourselves as the one, and regardless of the differentiation which occurs around us, we still realize all this as the one which we are. So we have the establishing of a line of light between monad and personality as a full expression of the soul, really, we might say, of consciousness, because soul is consciousness, between spirit and matter, between father and mother, the mother being the personality aspect, the father being the monadic aspect. It is evidence, when this completion has occurred, that spirit has mounted on the shoulders of matter, because spirit is always found within matter. Really, there's no difference in essence, as Blavatsky has told us in that famous quotation, spirit is matter, matter is spirit. It is evidence that spirit has mounted on the shoulders of matter to that high place from whence it originally came. It is deeply invested in what we call matter through our limited perception, and then it returns with the consciousness that can now realize itself as spirit, plus the gain of experience and of full knowledge, and of all that life in material form could give, and all that conscious experience could confer. This reminds one very much of the 10th law of healing. I wonder if I can kind of find that. Maybe just take a moment. Esoteric healing and, let's see, hearken. And let's see what it says about hearken. And here it is. Respond, O Rising One. The Rising Spirit, which we are, to the call which comes within the sphere of obligation, which is the karmic sphere where we are all working to regenerate the quality of matter conditioned by the third aspect. Recognize the call emerging from the ashram, or still higher, or from the council chamber where waits the Lord of Life himself. The sound goes forth. Both soul and form together must renounce the principle of life, vitality which animates them. They are going to fade out of the picture, and thus permit the monad to stand free. The soul responds. The form then shatters the connection. Notice the power of the little form to effect great changes in this liberation. Life is now liberated, and this is the point that is connected to what we were just discussing. Life is now liberated, owning the quality of conscious knowledge and the fruit of all experience. The second aspect, conscious knowledge and the fruit of all experience. Third aspect, these are the gifts of soul and form combined. I think you can see the relation here. Spirit has mounted on the shoulders of matter to that high place from which whence it originally came, plus the gain of experience and of full knowledge. And of all experience and full knowledge, right? That's what we just discussed. And of all that life in material form could give, and all that conscious experience could confer. The sun has done his work, the middle or the consciousness principle. We are all of us expressions of father, mother, and son. This trinity is ubiquitous in all conscious forms of life and latent in those forms of life which are not yet individualized. The sun has done his work. The task of the savior or of the mediator has been completed. Well, let's think of that. Alice Bailey always talked about the mediator being related to Pisces. Pisces is the foremost of the second ray signs and most associated with the Christ, more associated with the Christ than any other sign, although Gemini and Virgo are powerful in relation to that great being. But Pisces is archetypally the sign of the Savior and of the Christ, and it is the sign of the mediator. So the task of the Savior or of the mediator has been completed, and we certainly need that mediator, having had the tragedy of the moon chain, where so much was lost that is now being regained. The unity of all things is known to be a fact in consciousness. This we are struggling for as we try to achieve the third initiation, because the third degree initiate does realize that all things are in a unity. And a human spirit can say with intention and understanding, I and my Father are one, and that even transcends what we normally call unity. From unity to oneness, from soul to monad. And you might ask yourself within your own consciousness, you know, whether you or I know the difference between unity, well, differentiation, we all know, then unity, relationship, inseparable relationship, and oneness, all the same thing, regardless of apparent differences. Well, here's the Tibetan. You kind of wonder what he thinks we can absorb. The above is a brief and probably meaningless statement, except theoretically. I and my Father are one. But it's, and it's really learned in Pisces somehow. Father, not my will, but thine be done. And when the Christ made his conscious contact with the monad at the sixth initiation in the Garden of Gethsemane, he could say and know, I and my Father are one, and the will of the Father became his will. And it's my impression that his normally bodhisattvic 2,500 year period in office was extended to 5,000 years because of the tremendous human need and danger to the human race in a period through which we are now living. So the above is a brief and probably meaningless statement except theoretically, but it summarizes the task which lies ahead and the work of the disciple who is in process of constructing the Antikarana. So maybe after we study more extensively, we'll see the value of this summary that the Tibetan has given, and may it be so that this statement is no longer entirely theory, but that we begin to get glimmers of realization behind our theoretical intellectual understanding. Excuse me. There is a close connection between the fourth initiation, the quaternary, in its evolved condition, vital body, emotional vehicle, mind, and soul. Notice he leaves out the dense physical vehicle, and he does include that which is found on the mental plane, both mind and soul. And this fourth technical stage of building consciously the Rainbow Bridge, interestingly accomplished very much by the planet Mercury, which carries the number 4 in its soul expression. Also the fourfold Ajna Center, at least with 4 colors, twofold but fourfold in terms of colors, is important in this directing, visualizing process. And we have to realize as well that the heart involved in the fourth initiation is 4 chambered. So the fourth ray rules the fourth initiation. So all of these factors surrounding the number 4, even this unusual method of looking at the human being as a quaternary, normally the quaternary includes the dense physical vehicle. But in this particular case, it's a higher type of quaternary, including the soul. And, of course, many changes occur to this quaternary. The lunar vehicles, lunar elementals, which had been the lunar lords animating this fourfold vehicle, including the dense physical, flee, are sent forth, are driven forth, and an entirely new type of control of the vehicle eventuates. As a matter of fact, the vehicle itself can be constructed as a Maya Virupa later if it is not sustained. I mean, if it dies and seems to disintegrate, it will later be reestablished as a Maya Virupa. So the Rainbow Bridge, we can see, is a work undertaken in the vicinity of the second initiation, but it has a very potent purpose. It has later purposes too, but a very potent purpose at the fourth initiation, contributing to the descent of monadic fire, which contributes to the destruction of the causal body and the destruction of the personality limitations as normally experienced before that time. So he says here, you have the quaternary, the creative factor on earth, and we see then the soul is considered an aspect of the creative factor. We have also the fourth initiation, that of crucifixion, interestingly ruled in one respect by Gemini, which is ruled by Mercury, again bringing in the number four. The two and the four really are brought in here. Gemini second ray, Mercury second, Mercury fourth. And the fourth technical stage of building the Antikorana. I suppose this is the fourth stage when considering certain progressions of meditation. Now, as far as Antikorana building per se goes, we have stage of intention, of visualization, of projection, and then finally invocation and evocation. That's the fourth stage in the actual Antikorana building process. So the fourth stage of building the Antikorana, we have the Sutratma, the life thread. Its source is from the monad and beyond. Well, all of these have sources from beyond. The consciousness thread, which is probably closely involved with the soul. The creative thread, which is the work of the personality, because it says it is itself threefold, so it is vital, sentient, and mental manipulative. And then D, the technical Antikorana, bridging between the threefold personality and the spiritual triad. So we see why the Antikorana is placed in the fourth technical stage when compared with the three threads. In a way, it is a blend of all the three threads, making a fourth. But if you really start adding up the numbers here, it comes out to kind of a seven, doesn't it? See, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, maybe a six. Because the creative thread is threefold, unless you count the thread as a whole as number three and add another three, where it's threefoldness, and then the Antikorana as the seventh in the total combination of these methods of communication, these threads. One conveying life, vitality, the consciousness thread conveying knowledge and all that has been experienced, and the creative thread, the work of manipulating for good and effective purpose that which is in the repository of one's knowledge. So anyway, the number four is very much involved here with the Antikorana, and the powerful function of the Antikorana, whereby the monadic fire is liberated, comes in at the fourth degree. This is not the end of the Antikorana. I mean, one type of Antikorana extends and extends into higher and higher possibilities of contact. But at least it is a climactic point in the purpose of building the Antikorana. Then we might say the Antikorana is somewhat absorbed by the monad as the fifth initiation is approached. And later there is an extension of this type of extending consciousness when we talk about treading the way of higher evolution, the various paths that lead away from our planet, towards various sacred training planets within our solar system, and then on beyond our solar system altogether and onto higher planes than the cosmic physical plane. And it is the monad, whatever that means, that treads these higher paths. One could really, you know, ponder on that with a sense of pure being established and no essential differentiation, even though the illusion of difference in a practical way does appear. The monad is exposed to greater and greater rings past not of vibratory energy, and ascends plane after plane as it seeks its destination in certain constellations. Well, we can talk about those things, but what really do they mean, and can we conceptualize in any way their meaning? But, you know, to meditate on them and think of what it means to be an advancing monad on the way of higher evolution, on the path of Sirius, these monads are called sparks, blissful dancing points of fanatical devotion. Those who have a strong sixth ray component are likely to tread that path. The devoted dog, toward the devoted dog, Sirius, devoted to his hunter master, Orion. The stories are in the heavens, and they seem simple enough and even nonsensical at times, but they veil extremely interesting truths about how the different entities and energies are interrelated. So anyway, he, the Tibetan, as he often does, summarizes for us. We have the quaternary, the creative factor on Earth. Now, you know, what's he, is he including the soul? Is he saying vital body, emotional, mental, and soul? Or is he thinking of the lower quaternary, which leaves the soul out of the question and includes the dense physical vehicle? Fourth initiation, which basically changes our entire focus from the dense physical body of the soul of Logos to that of the etheric body of the soul of Logos, and into the principled realm, we might say, of the solar Logos. So the crucifixion is a really powerful dividing point, lifting us from death in the dense physical body of the solar Logos, lifting us from death to life. And life really begins in the dense, in the etheric vehicle of the solar Logos, our Buddhic, Atmic, Monadic, and Logoic planes. Then this fourth stage, building the Antikoradon, we've seen the one, two, and the three, and the bridging point is the Antikorana. The one, two, and three being Sutratma, the consciousness thread, and then the creative thread associated with the first three rays, and then the building of the Antikorana associated very much with the fourth ray and coming into full power, or at least a very fullness of power at the fourth initiation. And then we have the four stages of the path of return. We can understand that the fourth kingdom in nature, humanity, and that group of fourth, what should we say, monads, which are working on the fourth plane, the fourth creative hierarchy of man, have in the building of the Antikorana a very important process with the number four in resonance with so much of what that kingdom, of what that hierarchy is. So we have the stage of evolution, the very, very long stage of millions and millions of years, the stage of the probationary path lasting thousands of years, the stage of discipleship, which will also, I think, in a way, last thousands of years, but perhaps fewer thousand than the probationary path. And then the stage of the path of initiation, which is ongoing and lasts a very long time if we think about all the possibilities of initiation which lie before man. And if we correlate the numbers here, we'll see that it is the Antikarana which really is functioning on the, fully functioning on the path of initiation, allowing for the ascent of initiations. So this Antikarana, you know, we become familiar with it and we think that perhaps it ends with monadic realization, but it doesn't. It joins greater and greater Antikaranas, which lead eventually out of the solar system all together and towards great starry entities. And eventually, in our local system, towards the Pleiades, but there's not an end either. Finally, there is the ultimate universal logoic point of the universal logos, and that's where the Antikarana finally ends. The Antikarana is, in a way, the method by which the monad in extension, or the emanated ray of the Absolute, which we are, it's the way that that ray returns to its universal logoic source. So we're just beginning to learn a little bit about this seemingly endless path towards the very heights of our universe. Yet it is one and the same entity which participates in and is responsible for all the different aspects, steps, and stages. And this entity, of course, you know, ultimately is the monad, which is the extension of the one, who is the universal logos. It's one and the same entity which participates in and is responsible for all the differentiated aspects, steps, and stages, experimenting. These are these mnemonics the Tibetan uses, usually of the same letter, so that it sticks in our minds. Experimenting, experiencing, and expressing consciously in every one of these stages or modes of life until the fourth initiation. Well, that's not an end, but it certainly is the beginning of an entirely new phase related to the cosmic physical plane. Then consciousness itself gives place to life and yet remains itself. This is extremely important because sometimes we get the idea that when an aspect of divinity is superseded by another, that it disappears. But no, consciousness is a universal factor and is a factor in the all-pervasive life of the universal logos. So finally, we will learn what it means onward to move in life. We might call it an intensification of the realization of being, or an intensification of the realization that we are being itself, or life itself. To the above statement, add the fact that it is the fourth kingdom in nature, which undergoes all that is indicated above, and is conditioned by the four aspects of the one Sutratma, and apparently he's considering that the Antikarana is an aspect of the Sutratma. Once this is grasped, the beauty, Ray 4, of the symbolism, Ray 4 again, and the numerological relationships emerge significantly. So I've tried to point out something of this, a little bit of this, but of course it requires deep pondering. I'm convinced that these writings have use for hundreds of years to come, and maybe longer. The Tibetan is more modest, and he says it will suffice for the next generation of inquirers or esoteric students. But what does he mean by generation? Okay, so maybe he conceives of a generation in broader terms. I think that we've reached the point where we can say that this is the end of program 36. So, what happened? I think, all right, so wherever we were on page 470 and following, I will find the way back to the, this is number 35, and number 36 is what we've been doing. Sometimes when you're dealing with a new computer, you press the wrong key and everything disappears, just the way it did for me at that moment. Now, hopefully I can avoid that this time. So this is the end of Rays and Initiation Webinar Commentary number 36 on the 8th of January, 2017, and beginning of the same, number 37. And maybe I can go on and do more here tonight. The individual and her group, which are so kindly transcribing these videos into words, says that it's easier to handle shorter programs. Well, maybe it's easier for me to produce them as well. So thank you for listening, and I hope we can build up that kind of knowledge in our consciousness that will help us to see the world more as Master DK sees the world, deeply affecting our consciousness and somewhat affecting the consciousness of those we have the privilege and obligation to contact. The ageless wisdom, when properly assimilated, can save the consciousness of humanity, and it, considered as occultism, spiritual occultism, must win the day before the end of our present century, so maybe we can contribute to that. Okay, friends, I'll sign off now and maybe see if I can go on and do a bit more. See you now.